Good morning, church. Once again, I want to wish all the fathers a blessed Father's Day. In fact, fathers are amazing. And my father is here today. Wherever the son preaches, the father follows. And I'm thankful. Indeed, it's a privilege to be here to share with you God's word. The theme for this month is family relationships. Relationships matter. Especially relationship within our family. Sometimes sweet. Sometimes not so sweet. Sometimes it brings us joy. Sometimes it brings us pain. May it be joy or pain. It only means that relationships matter to us. With that, let's watch this short video, shall we?
Daddy is the sweetest daddy in the world. Daddy is the most handsome. The smartest. The most clever. The kindest. He is my Superman. Daddy wants me to do well at school. Daddy is just great, but... he lies. He lies about having a job. He lies about having money. He lies that he's not tired. He lies that he is not hungry. He lies that we have everything. He lies about his happiness.
I'm not here to sell insurance. Or to tell you that it's okay to tell lies. But the truth is this. Fathers are amazing. And the truth is that in our journey with our loved ones, there will be pain, joy, in the midst of all this. Yet, the truth is also when it comes to the family of God. How then are we supposed to come alongside each other in this journey? What are some handles that can help us along the way? That's what we're going to talk about today. But before we begin, let's talk to our Heavenly Father and ask Him to speak to us. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for loving us. Indeed, you are the greatest Father of us all. Now quieten down our hearts and open our eyes to behold wonderful truths of your law. Truly, our relationship with one another matters to you. So today, in the light of your scriptures, teach us how to journey with each other in this relationship that you have given to us. Now, as your servant, dearly loved by you, speak for your word. May the words that come out from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A story was told of a woman who wanted to romance his husband by sending him a text. The message goes something like this. If you are sleeping, send me your dreams. If you are laughing, send me a smile. If you are eating, send me a bite. If you are crying, send me your tears. I love you. She then waited patiently for her husband's reply. Shortly after that, the husband replied, please advise, send what? I'm in the toilet. This is not the way to build a strong relationship. This includes our relationship with each other in church. And today, our focus is on spiritual parenting. How are we to help each other to grow in the Lord? And the text for our consideration is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul shared with us how he has journeyed with the Thessalonians for their faith in Christ. Therefore, we are supposed to go and do likewise. But first, let's take a look at its context. You see, 1 Thessalonians is a fascinating book. They talk about the future, the second coming of Jesus, and how we are to prepare ourselves for the King's return. Paul was with the Thessalonians in his second mission trip. However, he could not stay long with them because of persecution. After a few months, he received feedback from his disciple Timothy that there were concerns. It was then he penned out these words to the Thessalonians. The purpose of the letter was to strengthen the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus and then to point to them towards a need to build a strong relationship before Jesus comes again. With that, that brings us to the text for this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. And can get all of you to read for us at a count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Thanks for reading. The text begins with the word so. That means that something before that is also important. Paul reminded us before this text that he was sent by God, one entrusted with the gospel of Jesus. And he reached out to the Thessalonians not out of greed or error, deception or impurity. All that he wanted to do was to please God. And God was his witness of his motive. Knowing the heart of God, Paul's heart reached out to the Thessalonians. Paul then began to talk about the journey he had as a spiritual father with the Thessalonians. The principle he has shared with us over here apply to us today as well. With that, I would like to bring all of you for a ride in seeing how a child of God can grow in the family of God with the help of us as spiritual parents. That brings us to the first stop for our journey today. Not just say we care, but share. Church, it is not good enough to say that we care, but we must share with those whom we love what truly matters. Verse 8 tells us this, we are to share the gospel of God in our lives. If we know that the gospel can change the lives of people, and can determine their destiny for eternity, Shouldn't we be sharing the gospel with them? Paul told us that he did. In fact, he reminded the Thessalonians that it was not easy. When he shared the gospel with them, it was in the midst of persecution. You see, spiritual parenting begins not with identifying who we want to share with, but it must be a vision of the person coming to know Jesus. In other words, even before the person comes to believe in Jesus, the Lord has already laid upon your heart for the person to be saved. So when you look at your loved ones, your colleagues, your friends, your heart reaches out to them. You really want the best for them because you care. That is especially true when you know that their lives and futures are at stake. Therefore, we must intentionally share the gospel and our lives with them. What does it mean, gospel and our lives? The gospel refers to the good news of Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners, but God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. God loved each one of us. And not only that, God raised Jesus from the dead so that we might also have hope that one day God will raise us from the dead. And when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He will not only forgive us, but He will grant us eternal life and abundant life. That is the gospel, the good news for all of us. And for our lives, they refer to the testimonies, how the gospel has impacted our lives. In other words, God, what God has done for you, in you, and through you. Maybe overcoming a bad habit or an addiction or changing of our hearts. You see, the gospel must come alive for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4, put it this way. Because the gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we live among you for your sake. This verse tells us that the gospel is not just words, but a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. A life that is transformed by the gospel. People must be able to see in you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control flowing out of our lives. Then the words that come out from our heart will be words of deep conviction that is from within and above. Church, if we care, we must share. About a month ago, my colleagues texted me in the morning saying that she needed to have a word with me. I thought something happened to her or one of our students. So I told her that I only can make it during recess time. So we met. She asked me an interesting question. What happens when a person dies? Of course, I was surprised. So I asked her, why do you ask? After all, she looks quite young. She then shared with me that her friend asked her this question and she had no answer. She thought maybe a pastor might know. Then I told her, I'm not a pastor, but I know. So I shared with her the truth. It was then the Lord impressed upon my heart to share the gospel with her. Of course, this is not the first time we talk about God. In fact, there were times I prayed for her because she was facing some challenges. Looking at the time, I only have 10 minutes left before recess. So quickly, I shared the gospel with her and asked her, do you want to believe in Jesus? And she said, yes. On that day, my colleague prayed to receive Christ. One more soul was saved. Praise God. Does this happen every day at my workplace? No. But the caring must take place every day. The Lord then reminded me that about a week ago, I was at Mass Media, a Christian bookshop, and I thought of her. So I bought a book on parenting for her. What's my point? Deep inside, I knew that I care a lot for her, and she knew it. And I have been sharing my testimony with her about how good God has been to me, and she can see it from my life and my workplace. And once the opportunity comes, I share the gospel with her. So, brothers and sisters, How about you? Do you have someone in mind whom you really care for? I'm sure you have. Have you shared the gospel and testimonies with them? You should. Do you even have an oikos list? Oh, an oikos refers to people whom you interact with regularly. People whom you care for. Church, we are standing between life and death. We are the bridges that will bring people to God. So don't just say that we care. If we do, we must share the gospel and our lives with them. Oh, but not everybody is ready. Sure. Then what we should do is we should continue to love them, listen to them, pray for them, talk to them, and build bridges so that one day when the opportunity comes, we can share the good news with them that they might be saved. That is the first stop of spiritual parenting. And after the person is saved and plugged into the body life, the church, we should continue to help them to grow, teach them to dig into the Word, examine their heart, so that their life may be aligned with the Scriptures. That brings me to the second stop for the day. We must not just talk, but walk. At a job interview, an interviewer said, "Mr. Tan, what would you consider to be your greatest weakness?" Mr. Tan replied, "Honesty, sir." The interviewer continued, "Really? I don't understand why honesty is a weakness." Mr. Tan then added, "It's okay. I don't think you have the intelligence to understand." I don't think Mr. Tan got his job. That is not the way to walk the talk. But for us as Christians, we must walk the talk and talk about the walk. We need both. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 9 and 10 tells us that Paul worked very hard, day and night, so that he will not be a burden to anyone. He was not afraid to tell people about his life, his private life, and his public life. You see, people could see that Paul was working very hard. He could have been paid for preaching the gospel, but he did not, and he would not. For in the sight of man and God, he was a hard-working man. In the sight of God and man, he was a holy man. Verse 10 tells us that they can see how Paul lived a holy, righteous, and blameless life. Now, what's the difference? The word holy here in Greek refers to one who carefully carry out the duties that God has given to him. To be righteous could mean a few things, but in this case, it means a life of integrity. That does not mean that Paul was sinless, but Paul intentionally worked out his practical righteousness up to the Lord. Now, to be blameless is that no one could fault him for what he has done for them and for God. And all these three are only possible because of what Jesus has done in his life and through his life, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the gospel. Church, it is not normal for us not to live a holy, righteous life. In fact, it is normal that we are supposed to live a holy, righteous, and blameless life. I say this again. It is normal for Christian to live a holy, righteous, and blameless life. Don't forget this. A.W. Tozer put it this way: we have learned to live with unholiness and come to look upon it as a natural and expected thing. This cannot be. Don't be deceived by the devil that it's okay to live a sinful life as a Christian. It is not. We are meant to live a holy life, a righteous life, and a blameless life before a holy God. If not, the Bible would not have asked us to live a holy life, because God is holy. We must walk the talk and talk the walk at the same time. Since we are Christians, church, let's live like Christ. And I'm thankful there are many of us here who walk the talk. Last weekend, the young adults had a camp in JB. We had a wonderful time fellowship, being with each other and with the Lord. As my family will be going up to Malacca and Port Dickson after the YA camp with a few more families, I intentionally, as a responsible father, made sure that the car was working fine before we left for the trip. So I went to service the car, change the battery, you know, check the tires. So it was perfect. Until the third day, I realized that I lost my car key. Even if the car could function, it cannot move. So I searched for it, but I could not find it. It was time for me to conduct a workshop. And my wife kindly said, "It's okay, you go. I will find it." After the workshop, she told me she could not. It was a Saturday. It would be difficult to get help from workshop. I tried to, but not successful. It was then I remember, a brother will be coming up to pick up his daughter in the evening. Maybe he can help to pick up my key. So I call him, and then he said that, not coming up anymore. So he asked me what happened. So I shared with him, and this is what he said. He said that it's okay. He was willing to pick up the key from my dad in Singapore, send all the way down to the camp, and then go back. Wow, amazing. And there's Brother Ing Hao. I was so touched. He told me, by 7 p.m., if you still cannot find the key, just activate him. I was humbled by his acts of love. It was then I texted the leaders to see anyone saw my keys. Then a brother texted in return and said, "It's okay. If you cannot find, I will send you back to Singapore to pick it up." Another brother texted me the same thing. By the end of the day, I have a total of 5 brothers who are willing to send me back to Singapore to pick it up. Just for a key. I went back to my room. I kneeled down. I didn't ask God, "God, where is my key?" But I give thanks. I give thanks to God for brothers like this, for the church like this. My heart was filled with joy, peace and love, than worry and fear. That night after the message, one of the brothers drove me back. It was raining heavily. We had to go slow. But in the car, we were chatting and we were praying. We had a wonderful time, at least for me. The very next day, many asked me about a key, even the lift. So I told them, I still could not find the key, but I found love in my brother's heart. And that is good enough for me. Why am I telling you all this? I'm talking about the walk that my brothers took for me. They walk the talk, and I am talking about their walk. It is not possible with God, it's not possible unless God works in us and through us. This is what the church supposed to be. For that, I'm thankful. So in the end, did I find the key? It's a mystery. So church, are you walking the talk? Are you talking about the walk? Are you living a holy, righteous and blameless life before God and men? We need both as spiritual parents to walk the talk and talk the walk. Now, no condemnation, but we are in this journey to spur one another on in this journey as a family of God. I've been blessed. I believe you are. My prayer is that as we are blessed, let's continue to be a blessing to the people around us, not just in this church, but our community, so that we might walk in a manner that is pleasing to God, worthy of His calling. That brings me to the last stop for the day. We are to focus not just now, but what's next. Little John's father asked, "I was told that you have your report book back today." John replied, "Yes, Dad, but I lent it to my friend." "Why?" the father asked. "Oh," John replied, "my friends want to use it to scare his parents." That's scary. It's not easy to be a parent. We do not only need to deal with what is next, what is now, but what is to come. And Paul tells us this in verse 11. Can I get you to just read one more time? You know, at the count of three. One, two, three. Thanks for reading. Yes, we are to share the gospel in our lives. We are to walk the talk and talk the walk. And Paul gives us the reason over here. What for? It is so that we can do it in a manner that is worthy of God, our King, and His kingdom and glory. Church, it is about the King and His kingdom. Let's not forget this. Just as Paul, the spiritual father of Thessalonians, have done so, he encouraged, comforted, urged his spiritual children to go and do likewise. In fact, Paul had been asking them to imitate him. This is found in the book. Chapter 1, verse 6, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 14, brothers and sisters, become imitators of God's churches, which is our in Christ Jesus. Imitate, for it is about the King and His kingdom. Church, we must never forget that this world is not our home. One day, all this will come to an end. What is left is us coming before our King and His kingdom. Yes, our felt needs are important. We must disciple the next generation. But with what's next in mind? Of course, it's important to talk about our marriage, finance, work, relationship, our service up to the Lord. But not just all this that's happening now. But what's next? For our future is at stake. The little ones at the back who are crying, will they one day worship the Lord? Often I told the leaders, it is not about us, but the next generation, and the next generation, and the generation to come. We must disciple them before Jesus returns. Encourage them to press on. Comfort them when they are down. Urge them to live a life worthy of God, our King. As mentioned, 1 Thessalonians is about the second coming of Jesus. In fact, Paul beautifully crafted for us so they will not miss it, will not lose sight of what is to come. And I believe that's exactly how the letter is divided in its five chapters. Let's take a quick look. Chapter 1, last verse, and wait for the Son from heaven. Chapter 2, last two verses, Jesus when He comes. Chapter 3, last verse, when our Lord Jesus comes. Chapter 4, 17-18, be with the Lord forever. Chapter 5, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So church, don't miss this when you study 1 Thessalonians. Jesus is coming back again. He is coming back again soon. Behold, your King is coming. Don't miss this. Therefore, there is an urgency to parent the next generation. Again, in the Y camp, I told the young people that they would be the one to lead the church in the years to come. So they need to arise, learn the ropes, take the lead. Yet this is just one part of the equation. Because we need you. We need each other. Especially those who are spiritually more mature. To come alongside the young people. The YA, the young adults just finished their camp. The youth are having a camp right now. They're excited. They're having a lot of fun. They're fired up for Jesus. But it's not good enough. Because what happens after the camp is more important. We must disciple them. Not for the camp, but for the future. As I look at my life, I'm thankful for spiritual parents who have journeyed with me all these years. I've honored 4 by now, and I would like to honor another 2 more today. I'm so thankful that senior pastor is back. I text him to thank him because he's the one who taught me what it means to love the Word of God. He modeled for me what it means to love the church and love the Lord. Thank you, senior pastor. Pastor Jerry, thank you so much for journeying with Winnie and myself even before we got married. Thanks for looking out for us. We are blessed. You say that sometimes, you know, or often I look out for you because you first look out for us. For that, we are thankful. And thank you also for all the dinners. The Lord bless you. There are many more who have looked out for me and journeyed with me all this while. Elder Hock Chai, Elder Raymond, Bo Lian, Pastor Evelyn, Pastor Edwin, Pastor Francis, Pastor Andrew. I better stop here in case you wonder how come pastors and elders are so free. They are not. But they make time to pour their lives into the next generation. I'm so blessed because they have dealt with me as their spiritual child, encouraging me, comforting me, urging me to live a life worthy of God who has called me into His kingdom and His glory. The truth is this, we all must go and do likewise. With that, let me share with you some practical handles that I learned from all these godly men to get you started. You see, I share with the young adults in the camp that we need to have at least 3 groups of people in our lives. The first are those who are older, who will come alongside us, who have been there, done that. And those, the second group are those, our peers, who are in the same journey as us. And the third group are those who are younger, whom we can journey with. And this is what I've learned and been doing. And we call that mentoring. You see, when we meet for mentoring, what are some of the things that we should do? First, we must set the expectation aright. I remember my mentor once asked me, what do you want to learn? Interestingly, I shared with him. Then he told me he did not have that in mind. Instead, he shared with me his strength. And he asked me, do you want to learn that instead? Of course, I say yes. But the question helped to set the stage. I know what I'm in for. And through all this, I come up with 5 C's that's helped me in all the mentoring relationship I have, me as a mentor or as a mentee. And with that, allow me to share with you quickly. The first C, confidentiality. It depends on how deep you would like to share with each other. Some share their darkest secrets. Some not so comfortable. That is fine. The point is this. I've learned that we will go at the level that the person is comfortable with. You see, at the end of the day, the deeper, the better. But keep it within the group. Come prepared. As a mentor, you need to be prepared. Pray before you meet your mentees. As a mentee, do your homework if there is any. You see, everyone is responsible for their own growth. My mentors are not responsible for my growth. I am responsible for my own growth. One of the questions I ask my mentee is, how badly do you want to grow? How badly do you want to grow? And don't tell me. Show me. I ask you to memorize verses. Memorize it. I ask you to read the passages. Do it. Don't tell me. Show me. In mentoring, we should look for 2 things in a person. First, a hunger to learn. The person must want to grow. He really wants to grow. That is a person that you should look out for. Secondly, as a mentor, I have a deep love for that person. It's not that I don't love the rest, but I can see God's hand in his life. And my heart goes out to that person. And with that, I will propose to mentor the person. If the person is not willing, it's okay. Then move on from there. But once we are committed, we will journey together. That brings me to the third C, commitment. My suggestion is that you should meet at least for at least half a year or a year to know whether it is effective. Once a month will be good. You see, for those who are not committed, they come late, never turn up, never do homework, and then they say not helpful. It doesn't make sense. But if they're not ready to commit, it's okay. Bless them and let them go. Focus on those God has entrusted to you. Work for the long haul. Stop only when the objectives have been met, or God show you that your season with the person is over. Don't give up. Number four, communication. I'll text them whenever the Lord impresses upon me. Sometimes they say they are okay. Then I'll leave it as that. Someone asked me, what do you do during mentoring? We do two things. We study the scriptures. We look at our lives. And then we align our lives with the scriptures. That's what we talk about. Why? Because of this. The goal of mentoring is Christ's likeness. How do you know that it is effective? How do you know that it's helpful? The question you must ask is this. Am I becoming more like Jesus? Is my mentee becoming more like Jesus? Because it is all about Jesus. So start today. In fact, you have more than one mentor. Who should you approach? It depends on what you want to learn. Each of us has strengths and weaknesses. Remember this. We only can give of what we have. So know what you need and seek them out. Now don't look for a perfect mentor, because there's only one in this church. And his name is Jesus. But this is what I find most helpful. The best way to learn is not to read a book. It's not to ask people. The best way to learn is to do it. Is to do it. One taught me how to manage my finance. I then teach the rest to do likewise. One taught me how to read the word and study the word. I then teach the rest likewise. One taught me how to love the church. I then teach them to do likewise. Another taught me how to love the Lord. I then teach them to do likewise. Church, our mission is to share Christ as we mature in Him. And it's my personal conviction that the strategy in doing so is mentoring. Some call it discipleship. Whatever you call it, do it. With that, let me end with a story. In my previous job, I was trying to reach out to one of my colleagues. After a few invitations, he finally agreed to come for Alpha. It was then another of my colleagues overheard and said, "What's Alpha?" Immediately, I told him, "Why don't you come and find out?" And he came. Amazingly, both of them came to know the Lord. The one who overheard the conversation is still in our church today. Therefore, I sought his permission to share this journey we had together. What happened was, after he received Christ, I managed to plug him into a cell group. He settled down there and was adjusting well. After a while, there was some reshuffling. It was then I heard about it. So quickly, I followed up with him and made sure that he was well taken care of. It was then I realized that I might have neglected this brother as his spiritual parent. Therefore, I asked him, "Have you completed the five assurances?" He said something like, "What's that?" He just assured me that he has not. So I suggest to do it with him. We met after work at one of the boy desks and go through the five assurances. After which, I thought our season was over. Again, I got to know that this brother liked a girl in our church. Interestingly, this girl is also someone very close to my heart. You see, I know this girl since when she was primary 3. She joined Pop Excel and I was her tuition teacher. Years later, she joined BBTK, our church kindergarten, and became my children's teacher. I'm so thankful that I treated her well when I was her teacher. It was then my wife commented that my ex-colleagues and this lady look like a good match. Sound like we are very capable. So we add some sugars and some spice and then they got together. It was then that Pastor Edwin and Rosie shared with us that it would be helpful if we can mentor couples before they get married. This couple came to our mind. So we met for 10 Sundays for mentoring. And I told them, I only have one objective in mind. We either help you to prepare to get married, or we help you to break up if it doesn't work. Thankfully, they got married. It was then they invited me to be their speaker for their wedding. And this was the photo we took. The two young ones are my children, not the couple. They say cannot mention names. I didn't. No, they say can mention. Why am I telling you all this? You see, there's a joy I cannot explain with words. But I must say that I learned that from Paul when I studied 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It is an honor to be a father, especially on Father's Day. But it is also possible to experience such joy to be someone's spiritual parent. And the best part is this. You can have more than two. Over here there are four. So brothers and sisters, it is wonderful to lead someone to Christ. But don't stop there. For we are called not to make converts, but disciples. Are you willing to answer the call to mentor and disciple the next generation? Or are you so busy that you have no time for people and for God anymore? What are you thinking about? Where to go for lunch after this? How much bonuses are we getting? Which car to buy? What color? Is that what life is all about? There must be more than this in life. If you are willing, don't focus on what's now, but what's next, for the future of the church is at stake. We must do something today before the Lord's return. And He's coming back again soon. It's all about Jesus. And Jesus modeled for us all these three. Jesus did not come and tell us that He cares only. He gave us the gospel and His life. Jesus walked the talk and talked the walk. He walked all the way to the cross to die for you and for me. And when He did that, He looked at us. He saw the future, the church. The church must arise to which it can win the lost. The church matters to God. Does it matter to you? The church is upon God's heart. Is it in your heart? The church need to arise. Are we ready to do so? If yes, don't say that we care, but share the gospel in our lives. Don't just talk about it. Walk the talk, then talk about the walk. Don't just live for now, but what's next? With that, I end the journey and like to invite you to join us to parent the next generation up to the one who has called us into His kingdom and glory. Amen. Just take this time to just ponder about these three points before we end with a closing song. We're talking about lives. Last week, I received a text that my close friend met an accident overseas and died. It was in the newspaper. It was just before I went up for YA camp. Leaving him are his wife and two young children. This man taught me programming when I was in poly. In fact, when I shared on Good Friday, Danny, about my poly classmate who died 20 years ago, this friend of mine was here listening to the message. I really hope that he has prayed to receive Christ, because it was his turn. During the YA camp, before I went up to preach, I received another text on Saturday. My colleague just passed away because of cancer. Both of them were not in their 70s or 80s. I believe both of them were younger than me. Church life is short. Within a week, I lost 2% in my life. In fact, I just met an accident 2 days ago. I was telling my wife, they're just a few centimeters away. If not by the grace of God, I will not be here today. The driver was so fast. And bang. But I was safe. He was safe. What's my point? Suddenly, when I look at my friend in his coffin, I saw the urgency to reach out to the people around us. Church, we are in the battle of winning souls for Jesus. Are we still thinking about just ourselves? Something is wrong inside. This cannot be. This cannot be. We must make a difference. And what saddened me that day when I went to the wake is not to see my friend lying in the coffin, but is to see the two children haven't come to know Jesus. I told the Lord, God, open doors so I can reach out to them, or perhaps one day even disciple them. What is life to you? Have you given your life to Jesus? Maybe you are a Christian, but Jesus wants to do more in our lives. He wants to take your 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiply them. Don't miss this, church, because the King is coming. Our life is only worth living if we live it for the King and His kingdom. Let's pray. As you close your eyes and bow your heads, take this moment just to ponder upon what God has impressed upon your heart this afternoon. Don't rush through it. Let the Lord just speak to you in your heart. For when the word of God is preached, God desires for His people to respond to Him. And we want to pray for 3 groups of people. The first group are those who have not come to Jesus. In other words, you are not a Christian. And today you say, I hear the message. I heard the gospel. I want to believe in Jesus. You want to turn away from your sin and turn to God and ask God to forgive you and come into your life. Today is the day. Don't miss it. God loves you, my friend. Don't miss it. You never know what's going to happen. Today is the day to decide and say, I believe. Or you have fallen away. You want to rededicate your life to God. If your answer is yes, we would like to pray for you. Can we get you to raise your hand in response to God? If you're not a Christian and say, today, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. I might have missed you, but say this prayer after me. Dear God, thank you so much for loving me. Please come into my life to help me. Forgive my sin. Help me to turn to you. I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me. Today, I give my life to you. Come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have said a prayer, the Lord bless you. I'd like to invite you to come forward to talk to any of the leaders, pastors, or elders, so that we can journey with you. The second group of people are those, your heart goes out to your loved ones, your friends and your colleagues, who has not come to know Jesus. Time is running out. And you're asking God for courage divine appointments to share the gospel and your testimonies. Church, don't miss this. Respond to God and ask God to help you. The Lord has often come alongside me. Please, don't give up. If that is you, we would like to pray for you. Can we ask you to just raise your hand and respond to God for your loved one's salvation? Yes, the Lord sees your hand. It could be even your father who has not come to know Jesus and you are crying out for him. Today is Father's Day. The Lord sees your hand. Father, bless my brothers and sisters. Thank you so much that you have put in their hearts, their loved ones, their friends, their colleagues, salvation. I pray for courage and divine appointments for them to come to be able to share the gospel, and all of them will come to know Jesus in your time. So Lord, bless them and help them to continue to build a bridge so that one day they might be saved. So we bless them and commend them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last group are those who would like to answer the call to mentor and disciple the next generation. You are saying to God, God, call me in. Show me the person you want me to journey with, and I'll do it. You may say, I don't have a lot. It's okay. What God wants is your 5 loaves and 2 fish. Give it to God and see how He will multiply it. If that's you, we would like to pray for you. Can we get you to just raise your hand and respond to God? Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Father, bless my brothers and sisters who want to answer the call to mentor and disciple the next generation. Our future is at stake. We ask the Lord that you will help us not to find confidence in the flesh, but confidence in you. Help us to walk this journey with someone so that God, it can be passed on to the next generation. So Lord, bless my brothers and sisters who have raised their hand. Help them so that they can also enjoy this joy and experience this joy that God, that you have given to Paul and many of us. Yes, thank you so much. We bless you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I get you to rise, church, as we sing the closing song? Now for those who have raised your hand, I would like to come forward to build an altar up to the Lord. If you have said the prayer to receive Jesus today, I want you to come to your left. Right. Come to your right. Alright? And someone will pray for you. And for those who want to intercede for your loved ones, come forward as though as the person is coming to God. You stand in the gap between life and death. Come forward to your left and then just cry out to God and say, God, grant salvation to my loved ones, my colleagues and my friends. Don't miss this chance and ask God to just speak to them right now. And for those who want to answer the call to mentor and disciple the next generation, I would like you to come to the center and then dedicate yourself to God and ask God to show you as we sing this song. Let's worship.
Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hands, everything we have.
For those who have raised your hands, just come forward and respond.
For a while.
just finished the YA camp, and the youth camp is still running. How many people can one person mentor and disciple? 20, 30, 50. But we have about 3,000 people in BBTC. And we're just depending just on a few. That doesn't work. Church, you cannot sit at the fence and say, God, I'll watch and see. That's not how it works. We're talking about lives. The young people are having fun. They need a father, a spiritual father, to come alongside. If the Lord has touched your heart and say, son, will you do this for me on Father's Day? Daughter, will you step up and come alongside someone? Give me your 5 loaves and 2 fish. And if God has spoken to you, then come. Tell God, look at my hands. Look at my heart. Use it. If this is good enough, use them. Give me a heart of compassion. Give me a vision for the lost. I will do as you say. If that is you, I encourage you to come forward. And those who are in the center, the young people, look out for them. These are the ones that are ready to serve you. And you know any one of them, the Lord tap upon your heart. Yes, this uncle can mentor me. This auntie can mentor me. Approach them later and say, can you please mentor me? Can you come alongside me? If they say no, it's fine. Look for the next person. But take the courage to do so. So this is the last call, and I want to encourage you, if the Lord has tapped upon your heart, to respond. The altar is open. Come. Need someone to pray for you? Come. As we sing the song again.
Church, if you want to respond to the altar, now is the time as you sing this song.
Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hands? Everything we have, use it for your plan. Won't you, Lord, refine as you set us apart. We want to run to the altar and catch the fire to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. Give us the heart of compassion for a world without vision. We will make a difference, bringing more.
The next 1 minute on your own to dedicate your prayers to the Lord. If you're standing in for someone, bring that person to the Lord right now. If you are here and saying, God, use me, I want to make disciples, bring your prayers to the Lord right now. 1 minute on your own. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you have marked every single person here in this auditorium, this entire place. You know that the people that we are burdened about, that you love them even more than us. Lord, these names, these people, we lay them before you. That you open the eyes of their hearts, lift up the veils from their eyes, help them to see you for who you are. Help them to turn back to you and to honor you as their King. Save them for eternity, that they will spend eternity with you. Lord, you love them even more than us. Bless them. Watch over them. Save them by your grace. Save them by your love. Church, before we close, I want to pray for every single person here who is a disciple maker. Everyone here who is going to make disciples, you've dedicated yourself to become a disciple maker, or you are already making disciples. You're a cell leader, you're a pastor, you're a CS, you're a parent over your children, you're a teacher, you teach in the Sunday school, whatever your position is, you are already making disciples. I want to pray for the Lord to continue to bless you and use you. Lord, we want to lift up every single person in this room who is already a disciple maker and has committed themselves to make disciples. Lord, would you anoint us afresh? Would you fill us with your word day by day and fill us with your spirit that we will never give out of our own, but we will give what comes from you. Lord, we pray that we will always have a fresh word, a rhema, a word that brings life unto the people that you've entrusted us with. Lord, we look to you as the chief shepherd. Lord, we thank you for giving us your sheep, the people that you've entrusted to us. We pray that you help each and every one of us here to be faithful with these lives, to look upon you as our chief shepherd as we lead these people for the season that you've given to us. Please anoint us afresh. For those of us who are dry in our walk, fill us and anoint us again. For those of us who somehow have wandered away and have not practiced what we preach, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness that we can come back. And Lord, we pray that you will stir in us, for those of us who have grown cold, and renew our passion in our fire. But for those of us who have been faithful, help us to continue to be faithful, to look to you as our Lord, to look to you as our chief shepherd. So Lord, we ask that you always give us a word for the people you've entrusted to us. Help us to always know and understand that these are first and foremost your sheep, that we will always point them to you, never to ourselves. So Lord, we pray that you help us, continue to help us to bring people closer and closer to Jesus. Lord, as we depart from this place, send us forth with that power, with that anointing, that we will bring it forth to the people that you place in our care. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand, church. Thank you, Jesus. The altar is still open. If you do require prayer, we'll be here to pray for you. If not, the service is over. We'll see you next week. Goodbye, and God bless.